In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
People really need to stop pretending that Democrats don't mean every radical thing they say. The Democrats told you they wanted to destroy America as you knew it, transform it. Maybe you should have believed them. They told you they were going to lock you down and control you more than ever. Maybe you should have believed them. They told you they were going to take your guns. Biden just said no amendment is absolute. I hope the press really heard that. Freedom of the press is in the First Amendment. What bothers me is the inability of people willing to believe where things are going. When they closed your business, when they ordered you not to go to churches, when they stopped you from seeing your friends in your own family, in your own home, when they blocked you from preventative medicines like hydroxychloroquine, when they made you wear a COVID sponge and breathe through it, when they extended their orders time and time and time again, where did you think this was all going? This is about control. No society in the history of mankind has ever obeyed its way to more freedom. And now the vaccines, which are on the verge of mandatory. Does anyone think it stops here with the vaccine? This is opening the door to massive and complete control over every aspect of your life. China has been doing just that for over a decade. They use a social credit score, and everyone must carry a cell phone with the official app so businesses will know whether they are allowed to do business with you. The program is designed to incentivize trustworthy conduct and punish those who are deemed untrustworthy. Who decides? The only party in power, of course. Among the things that can lead to being put on the restricted list is spreading false information. Now, where have we seen that before? One journalist was jailed for exposing corruption. Are you listening, mainstream media? If your score is low enough, you can't use public transportation, can't go into certain businesses, can't choose which schools to send your kids to, may suddenly not be able to qualify for certain jobs, or be able to rent better apartments. At cinemas and other public places, they name and shame you, plastering your picture and name, even your address, up on big screens. You can only get your points back up by becoming more obedient. They will let you travel again, let you go into certain businesses again, even offer discounts if only you'll obey and become a model robot again. I mean, model citizen. By the way, China wants to run the global vaccine passport. They'll let you have a few liberties. That is the opposite of America, where our freedoms come as free gifts from God, not granted from government. We need to remember that and have some hope, because we are not China, whose people have never been free. They've never tasted it. But freedom runs deep in America, and it's sad to think that the Democrat Party sees freedom as a virus in need of a cure. I would like to welcome newly elected Congressman Burgess Owens back to the show. Burgess, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much.
So we wanted to have you on to find out what's happening in Congress and the crazy assault on our constitutionally guaranteed rights and protections, and even talk about some of these crazy racist policies coming out of the Biden administration. But before we get there, I have to mention this ridiculous cartoon by the Salt Lake Tribune where they compare you to the KKK. On one panel, it has you pointing at the border and saying, "They are coming to your neighborhoods." And in the next, it says 70 years ago and has a picture of a guy from the KKK saying the same thing. They're coming to your neighborhoods. So the Salt Lake Tribune thinks that you're a racist because you're sounding the alarm about the conditions at the border. Would you like to comment on this?
Yeah, it is an amazing thing to see. And, you know, I've seen this throughout my life, decades. Mm. Matter of fact, I've always said, I remember as a kid thinking this, that there's two types of races. One that's in your face. I was just when I was growing up down south, of course, it's the days when segregation. So I knew what it looked like. I knew when we, being the first or fourth, one of four black athletes going to my high school. The one thing about the southern races is that you knew where they stood. They're in your face. At least you can respect the fact they weren't trying to snooker you. And then you have the other types. Then you have the types who are now dealing with the I call the racist trip. These people that get in your face, they tell you good, sweet things, pat you on the back, and then stab you in the back as soon as they can.
Yeah.
Those are the worst kind. Worst kind. So, yeah, so what the trip has done is decided now, because I'm talking about the kids being abused coming across the border, talking about the 19,000 kids right now, unaccompanied, no parents, no supervisor, being trafficked by cartel, they decide they're gonna call me a KKK member. But see, this is what they get away with. They don't, and this is why Americans have to really wake up to this hard left. And by the way, there's a difference in liberals and leftists. Liberals and conservatives, they both have the same end game. We love our country. And even when we might think differently of how to get there, we have the same end game. The hard left are cowards and bullies. They cowardly hide behind yes. good-hearted liberals, and they attack everything they can, every time they can, conservatives. So yeah, what we're seeing now is just what they do best. They now call me a KKK member, which they get away with normally if somebody has a white skin. But this is a true insult, demeaning. And again, just keep in mind, Mark, I want to make this point. I was elected by Utahns to represent them in the House of Representatives. I'm a congressman. And this is the way these hard left racists deal with anyone of a different color that will not bow tow to their white elitism. So it's I'm glad that they've done this. We're going to call them out. We're going to talk about it, and I appreciate the opportunity for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. More times than not nowadays, the people calling other people racists are the real racists. Still, it is absolutely despicable what they did. All right, lots more to talk about with Congressman Burgess Owens coming up. An insider look at Congress. Why does it seem the Republicans aren't able to stop things? And then later, a look at Biden's racist programs to end racism. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're honored to be talking with Burgess Owens, a frequent guest here on iSpy Radio, and now, of course, a congressman from Utah's 4th District, fighting the good fight there in Washington, D.C. And speaking of which, it's pretty crazy what's happening there in Washington. The left is making a hard push at everything. And I, looking at this from the outside in, it just seems like the Republicans aren't really mounting a strong defense here. Can you talk to us a little bit what's going on there in Congress, because the Democrats don't have this massive supermajority, even though the media portrays it as if they've got some kind of mandate?
Well, here's the thing. Well, what people have to recognize, these guys have control. But the American people did something great, Mark. They did a remarkable thing. We flipped 15 seats.
Yes.
We held on to all the incumbent seats. They're the smallest margin we've had since World War II, which is two. So what we have right now, first of all, we see contrast. What the left is doing, because they're panicked. They realize that the 2022, they cannot hold on to the House. They realize their agenda cannot be continue to be progressive. So they're pushing so hard that American people are saying, this is not what I signed up for. So because there's only two, and this is the way it also works, because of that small margin, we have, quote, moderates that are still around, that want to be around in 2022. They can't stay on this left edge and survive. They have to start coming back to the middle. So right now we're fighting. We're doing everything we can. When they put these laws through, there's nothing that the Republican Party can do other than offer amendments, which they will vote down, and they'll push their policies to the floor. And then, of course, they have majority, but they have to live with that vote. So what's going to happen is that those who stand on the hard left and want to be elected, they're going to start coming back to the middle. The closer we get to 2022, you're going to start to see them pulling back, which is going to slow down the process. The other part is this. We're starting to see contrast. The greatest thing about what's happening now is Americans can see the true vision of the hard left. It's not hypothetical anymore. They want to pack the courts. They want to give us debt. They want to flood the borders, Mark, like I've never seen before, using letting cartels making $500 billion a year, per month, to use kids as young as 4, 6, 7 years old, coming to our country without any supervision, and then being handed over to sex traffickers once they get here. This is what we're looking at. And we have a government led by a very empathy-free president and vice president who allowed it to happen. It will not come down to the border to take a look at it. So be patient was my message. We're going to be okay. We're going to win back 2022. And at the same time, we'll have a chance the country for both Democrats and Republicans to see how evil this hard left really is in terms of how they deal with people and just throw them away whenever they get a chance.
Oh, it's absolutely frightening now that they're being fully exposed. I mean, a lot of us, you and I have talked about them a lot in the past where this is what we knew they really were, and now everybody else is seeing it too. And in terms of those moderates, is there any effort to try to pull some of them over to have them switch party? Because, you know, it's just a few votes there. If you could get just a few of those moderate Democrats to say, this is crazy what the hard left is doing. This is no longer my party. You know, you've got Vernon Jones down there in Georgia who did that. Pull them over to the Republicans, and then you've taken away the power from Pelosi. Are you guys working on that?
Well, here's the thing. The moderates, the quote moderates that we used to think of, blue dog Democrats, they're not really around anymore. Pelosi got rid of them the last two terms around by keeping them so far on the left that they lost, I think, they lost a bunch of them the last time around. They lost 15 this time. So we do have some who want to survive. And I don't know if they have the courage to switch parties because Pelosi has an iron fist. They take no prisoners. They take no prisoners. So I don't know if they'll be switching parties, but you're going to start to see them doing things like AOC just sent out $5,000 to all the Democrats to give them support for the campaign. And many of these people have sent their money back. They don't want to be associated with her. So this is going to happen as we get closer. But just keep this in mind. And this is what I'm so thankful for. You're right, Mark. You and I, we've been talking about this for a long time, but it's always been hypothetical. When it becomes personal, when good people, Democrats and Republicans, all of a sudden can't go to work, can't put their kids in school, even though they're in the right zip code, can't go to church, even though they love their God, can now see that they're gonna pack the court, they're gonna give us trillions of dollars of debt that's gonna devalue our dollar and take away from middle class. Then all of a sudden we start to talk. When we start to talk, we the people, the most powerful three words in the history of mankind. When we start to talk together and compare notes, that's when we gain power.
Yeah.
And so they are losing. They're losing already because it's no longer hypothetical. It's personal. When you show up at a gas tank, it used to be $37 to fill it up. It's now $67. Believe me, that gets very, very personal. And Democrats are at fault with this.
Absolutely crazy. Okay, let's take a break. Racism is everywhere, and the Biden administration thinks the solution to racism is well-funded racist programs costing billions of dollars. Stay with us. More with Congressman Burgess Owens. And welcome back. We're talking today to Congressman Burgess Owens and longtime guest of the iSpy Radio Show. He's giving us some time between a very busy schedule. And Burgess, you had mentioned the problem with the border. And one of the things that the Democrats were doing when Trump was in office was they were suing the crap out of him. Where are the lawsuits from the Republicans in terms of like stopping the border crisis and stuff? Because we're like 3 months into this now, and I haven't seen any lawsuits against this.
Boy, what a good question. First of all, it's happening. You have to understand that some of the stuff that you just hit it on the head. We're only 3 months into this. There are things happening right now. I think it was Stephen Miller who used to be with the Trump administration. I hear a very, very smart guy. He's already put together a group, and he's now looking at funding it, and they're going to do exactly what you just mentioned. We're going to take from the Democrats' playbook and start using the legal ways of slowing down, putting sand in the gear wheel. These things we're talking about, first of all, slowing them down, we have remarkably great leadership here, that I'm just excited about, to be honest, within the House. Leader McCarthy, what he has to do, keep in mind, as Republicans, we're free thinkers, we're critical thinkers, so we're not gonna all fall in line, but he's been able to call us together enough to realize that we need to keep ourselves squared away and focused. And let the Democrats show who they really are. So I will say this. It's only three or four months. Be patient. We have a great team here, and the American people put us here, the 15 flip seats. You're going to hear more from them, this freshman group. They're tenacious, patriotic, bold, articulate, and they know how to frame our country and what we stand for. Many of them are women. We have two from South Korea. You have two blacks. I mean, it is amazing, this freshman team. So hang in there. Be patient. Allow these people to continue to show who they are. And within the coming months, you're going to start to see them peeling away. as they want to prepare for 2022.
I tell you, it's tough to be patient when you're watching your country be destroyed. It's just hard to do that. I feel you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
This is to that point. As you know, I played football for the NFL for 10 years, and one of the greatest plays that I just enjoy being part of is called a blitz. It's the only time that the defense has a chance to go on offense, to be aggressive, to be bullies, to be to be in your face, to get in the head of these quarterbacks to change the game plan. Well, what we're dealing with now is the Biden blitz. We're dealing with a president who's pushing everything they can at us. Well, again, I just went through the whole process: debt, packing the court, federalizing election laws on our constitution to be in a state level. All these things they're doing is to get us distracted, because all these things they're doing, either unconstitutional, which we're proving in court, or it's going to take months or years to do. The one thing that wants to keep us from thinking about the distraction is what's happening at the border. So everything we should be talking about, as they put all this stuff out there, as we continue to talk about First and Second Amendments that they're going to take away from us, realize that what they really want us to do is stop talking about what's happening at the border. As they flood our country with thousands and thousands of unvetted people every single day, to bring these kids in and push them within hours, come across unaccompanied into the middle of our cities and the middle of our country. In cities that used to think they were safe being a border city, they're going to start being border cities. We're going to start seeing MS-13. We're going to start to see an overload on our school systems and all those kind of things. So that's what they're trying to do. But we, the people, are going to pick up on it. We're going to recognize what they're doing. And we're going to, as soon as we can, start being more engaged and, of course, get it back in 2022 and 2024.
Mm. So one of the things that we really wanted to talk to you about was this racist program that the Biden administration has put out there about the farm program, where they're going to spend $4 billion from the COVID relief spending spree to pay off farm loans of minorities. But white farmers who struggled for decades to pay off their loans are going to get nothing. I mean, this is blatantly racist, and we were very happy to see that you announced that you deeply oppose this. Can you explain your opposition to the audience?
Yeah, very simply. First of all, I came out of that environment, the farming culture. My great-great-granddad, their father, who's a former slave, ended up being a farmer. My grandfather, my mom's side, 12 kids, a farmer. My dad was an agriculture, as an agronomist, and he's ended up his life as a farmer. There's a farming culture that is very, very unique and very, very American. It's called meritocracy. It's when people get out there and they have to have faith in their God. They have to have trust in each other, because they have to lean in to make sure that every single season is one they can survive. The worst thing we can do is have D.C. try to divide our culture and our farming community. So this is true racism. And what I'm looking forward to is some kind of courageous conservative lawyer who starts to do a class action lawsuits, because racism is racism. Whenever you decide to do anything based on color, it's racism.
Yes.
Period. I don't care who you say you are. And the worst kind of racism are those who say that I'm racist and still judge people by the color of their skin and then convince others to do the same. The worst racists are these white, woke leftists who are turning our country to that. So it's not going to work long term, because somebody's going to take this to court. It's going to get to a location where it may be the Supreme Court, where they start to say, you know, this is based on color. Can't happen. So we're fighting it. Again, keep in mind, these are all, it's as crazy as it might seem. We talk about saving our Second Amendment. And that's a very important thing.
Yes.
Recognize they can't do certain things in a very short period of time. The only thing they can do every single day is flood our borders with unvetted people from all around the world who want to come here. Many do not have any good contentions for our country.
No.
Many are cartels. So just keep that in mind as we fight through this process, and be patient. We're going to slow them down as soon as we can.
Okay. Real quick, Nancy Pelosi actually came out against packing the court. Did that surprise you that she did that?
No, nothing's going to surprise me, because keep this in mind. Keep in mind what I'm saying. A lot of this is distraction. They're going to throw stuff at the wall that just to keep us thinking about that for a few days. At some point, they realize, first of all, American people would hate that kind of power play, and they get it. So Biden got up the other day and said he's going to give an executive order to stop the Second Amendment. I mean, keep in mind, these are things they can say, but they can't do, because it's going to turn American people against them, and the courts are going to eventually turn it away against them. So, no, I'm not surprised. These people have no shame, Mark. They have no shame. They're going to say and do anything they can to keep us distracted. Let's remember, this is the Biden blitz. As much as these things sound crazy, which they are, what are they trying to do today is thousands more people coming through the border that we don't know about, that we're not talking about. So, no, it's not going to work. I'm not surprised. And we just keep moving forward to have faith that American people always win when it comes down to these hard left people.
Well, you had mentioned that about the Second Amendment. Joe Biden, in attacking the Second Amendment, said that no amendment is absolute. I mean, that is just insane talk. I mean, what did you make of that statement that no amendment is absolute, coming from the President of the United States?
Well, first of all, the guy's clueless. There's nothing there. And he's saying something that's probably put in front of him by one of his leftist friends. So don't get distracted. It doesn't matter what he says. Is what can he do? The Second Amendment is our constitutional right given to us by God. So no, he can get up there. He's the kind of guy who will say, "Listen, I'm going to change the law. I'm going to say gravity is no longer real." And he's going to jump off an 18-story building, realize at some point it's as real today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. Mm. No, our country will survive. We will make it past Biden and his silliness, and we're going to make it past the left as we begin to wake up to who they truly are. So these are great times for us, Mark. We're waking up. Man, it's nothing more powerful than Americans. We realize we're fighting against an enemy that's trying to take away our culture, and we're not going to let it happen.
Yeah. Well, Burgess, I mean this absolutely sincerely. You were chosen to be there in Congress for such a time as this, and we're awfully glad that you're there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, my friend. Let's do this again. Let's talk soon, okay?
Absolutely. I'd like to welcome Scott Shepherd back to the show. He is a fellow at the National Center for Public Policy and is the Deputy Director of the National Center's Free Enterprise Project. Scott, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Mark. Always great to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we just got off the phone with Congressman Burgess Owens, and we briefly touched on the court packing bill that the Democrats had tried to introduce this week that would have added four justices to the Supreme Court. And then, a bit of a surprise, Nancy Pelosi squashed it. I mean, how crazy are the Democrats when Nancy Pelosi is the sane one? You're an attorney, so we'd like to get your thoughts on all of this. Even though the bill has been squashed, Joe Biden did announce last week a commission to study the idea. He had tried to pretend that he was against court packing during the campaign, but we all knew that he was really for it. So what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, my suspicion is that Nancy Pelosi did some counting. You know, there was a new representative seated this week that brings her majority in the House down to six. And I suspect with the redistricting and the trends that'll create, and the normal historical trend that presidents lose seats in their first midterms, more in their second midterms if they get a second administration, but even in their first midterm, the odds that the Democrats are going to keep the House are already pretty small. And I suspect that Nancy Pelosi may not have had to read it. She might have been around for the court packing efforts in 1938, but they're not popular. And so I suspect that it was just a political calculation for her, because she doesn't seem very thoughtful about the long term. But the long term implications of court packing are the same as they were in 1938 when FDR tried it and had a great Democratic majority, a huge Democratic majority in both houses, and the response on Capitol Hill then was absolutely not. Because if the Democrats were to add four justices, what they will have established is that when you have complete control of government, you put your party in charge of the Supreme Court. And so the next time, unless there really is nationwide vast levels of cheating, then we know for sure at elections, we know for sure that the Republicans will have complete control not too long from now. And when that happens, they'll just add as many justices as they need to establish Republican control, which would simply make the Supreme Court into a very odd version of the British House of Lords, and nobody would pay any attention to it at all. We'd all know that it's not doing law anymore. It would just be doing politics in a very staggered, with very staggered additions to its panels, and nobody would take it seriously. And because the left gets a lot more out of Supreme Court decisions, or at least has pretty much since the New Deal, that would be a much bigger blow to the left than to the right. So, you know, I think her calculations were political, but I think that the left in general wants to leave the Supreme Court completely alone, because the most that a conservative majority is going to do is stop some of their more lunatic adventures. It's not going to be, given conservative thoughts about originalism and non-judicial activism, it's not going to be an over-the-top driver of conservative impulses and interests the way that a liberal court can be. So it's altogether in the left's interest to keep the court, at least in the public mind, as a real bastion of law-telling and truth-saying rather than just a political animal.
Right. Yeah, well, it was interesting that even Justice Breyer had come out against this. But the number of justices has fluctuated since the beginning. It was originally established at 6, and then 7, 9, 10, I think, at one point. But the history of it was that when it's been reduced, what that really meant was that they weren't going to fill a position when it became empty.
Yeah.
So had the Democrats got this through, had they added the 4 seats, that was the danger, was that you couldn't just remove them because of the lifetime appointment. You know, that's the real danger there. They can't just be removed. They'd have to essentially die off to get back to the proper number. So in terms of the lifetime appointments, is that something that we need to be reexamining?
Well, if you are a constructionist, if you are an originalist, an original meaning interpreter, which conservatives tend to be, then reexamining that would require a constitutional amendment, because justices serve for good behavior. And so there's a strong case to be made that without an amendment, it would be unconstitutional to limit those life terms.
Well,
but if we're willing to...
Let me interrupt you there real quick.
Sure.
So why didn't the Constitution say appointed for life rather than during times of good behavior?
Oh, that's so that judges can be impeached.
Okay.
As early as the Jefferson administration, there was a significant effort, because Washington was first fairly neutral, but by the end was governing as a Federalist, and John Adams was a Federalist. And then Jefferson came in as a Democratic Republican, was the name of his party. And he and his people in Congress thought very hard about trying to use the good behavior clause to impeach justices more or less on political grounds. Samuel Chase, I think, was in their sights in particular, and John Marshall would have been taken out this way. But even as far back as 1800, it was pretty well understood that the people didn't like the idea of absolutely politicizing the court. And so, again, Speaker Nancy's calculations are pretty clear. This would not be a popular move outside of the crazy base. And there's a long, long line of history to suggest that.
Yeah. Well, I agree with Burgess Owens, who had said that this move really exposed the left for who they are and what they're trying to do. But could this attempt have unintended effect on the Supreme Court itself? Perhaps wake up the court to realize that maybe they should have taken up some of those election theft cases, and now suddenly they realize the left really was serious about remaking America into some sort of Marxist hellhole.
Well, now that's interesting, because Breyer, I mean, we always hear that the right vote, I mean, we always hear from the what used to be the mainstream media, which is now just really poorly educated mouthpieces of the hard left, but we always hear from them that the Republican majority votes in lockstep, and that's never true.
No.
There are always there's always thoughtfulness on the right. There's not thoughtfulness on the left. The justices on the left almost always vote in lockstep the way the right's accused of doing. But I do think that Breyer, in particular, being the oldest one on there, is a little more thoughtful, and he does seem to be a little concerned about the more the more revolutionary impulses of the left. And so that might have been something that motivated him, but I don't think it'll ever it's motivating him enough to stay despite being 82. I don't think it'll ever motivate him enough to be willing to break from that. Yeah. That left-wing lockstep on the court.
It would be nice to see John Roberts get a real wake-up call. Who knows? Maybe this at least got him thinking. Let's go and take a break there. Coming up, we'll be talking about some corporate leaders turning activists. Stay with us. The last time we talked with Scott Shepard, we talked about the sudden insatiable desire by formerly sane companies to embrace leftist ideology. Well, it hasn't gotten any better over the last few weeks. There, Scott is the deputy director of the Free Enterprise Project, a program of the National Center for Public Policy Research. You can find out more by heading to nationalcenter.org. So, Scott, did you ever think that you would see a time in America where defending election integrity would be a radical idea? Or worse, did you ever think that American companies would support voter fraud, not behind the scenes with donations to leftist groups, but publicly right out there in the open, proudly supporting voter fraud? And that if you don't support voter fraud, well, we just don't want your business. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, we've gotten to a real, real stupid place in American history. And corporations have gotten themselves into a real fix. But they brought it on themselves. You know, it has not that many years ago, corporations really were just middle of the road actors protecting their own and their shareholders' interests and otherwise largely staying out of politics. It's funny that the left railed for so long about corporate money and politics and corporate corporations aren't people and all of that nonsense when in fact, all that corporations generally did to influence voters was to keep taxes from destroying their companies, which is exactly what you'd expect corporations to do. Now they've decided in very hypocritical and appalling ways that they want to run the country. I really do think that what's back of this is that you've got Larry Fink at BlackRock and Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan and my personal bete noir, Brian Moynihan at Bank of America and a number of others who think that we're all stupid and we all need to be managed and that democracy is just, and that doesn't even touch the tech oligarchs, but democracy needs to be managed and we need to be largely kept home and not creating much carbon so that they can run free and have both control of the world and not have us hoi polloi around when they want to be when they want to get through the airports or be at resorts, and they're behaving accordingly. And so now they've got themselves into a position where they're calling for Georgia not to ID voters. Now, we're in the middle of shareholder season. A lot of what we do is go and ask hard questions of CEOs and try to remind them that the right is paying attention and that we're not going to put up with this. But we have to show three different kinds of ID to get into shareholder meetings, to ask questions of CEOs, to prove that we're shareholders, to prove that we're the people we claim to be, and so on and so forth. So shareholder meetings are so important that it's okay to ID would-be entrants to the meeting to make sure that they are who they are. That's really important. But the American Republic, nah, who cares about that? No IDs needed there. And if there's cheating, they seem to be certain that the cheating is going to go in their direction. So they don't need to be worried about cheating. Aside from the moral evil of it, that's a really bad place for these corporations to have gotten themselves into. And we need to remind them of it every single day until they just get back into selling us soft drinks and flying us around the country.
Hmm. So, have businesses just gotten too big and too powerful? I mean, you've got these $100 billion companies. I mean, that's a lot of money it can throw around. You've got other ones like Apple and Amazon. These are like the trillion-dollar ones. Is it time to rein in some of these companies, maybe break some of them up? And I'm shocked to even think that because I'm a free market guy. I'm naturally opposed to that, but we're seeing the worst of the worst right now from these companies.
Well, I'm right with you, Mark. Your viewers might be able to smell the evil, sense the evil over the phone. I'm a lawyer and used to be a law professor myself, and I was one of the rare libertarians in a law faculty, and for years pointed out how silly most of antitrust law is. But, you know, that's because I never imagined companies being so powerful and then so stupid as to use that money to act as private industry censors of the American public and then try to wreck the basic and fundamental foundations of American democracy. Now, when we've got that happening, and there's no other way to describe either what the corporations are doing in Georgia and trying to intimidate all other states from having fair elections, and what the tech oligarchs in particular are doing every moment of every day, all of the time, to all of us, you know, not just with bans, but shadow banning, Google searches, and just all up and down the line. They're trying to destroy the Republic so that they can be an untitled nobility that are running the place. And when that happens, when there's that much market power in a few of these giant corporations, I don't think there's any choice but to use antitrust and to use it hard. Now, I pick antitrust because I'm still a libertarian. I'm still right, very far right of center. I don't want the government to set up 56,000 million new regulations, double the Federal Register yet again. But antitrust is a fairly clean way to reduce overwhelming market power without creating a lot of regulations. Like, we just break up Facebook, break up Google, break up Apple, break and a few other of these, and then give big tech and the big banks a choice. If we keep bailing you out, banks, then you're going to be regulated as a common carrier, which means you can't discriminate against any takers. You have to serve all customers without even looking at their politics or anything else. And big tech, you have to treat everybody as common carriers, or we're going to break you up. And then not have billions of pages of regulation, just common carrier or breakup.
So there was a massive meeting of, I shouldn't say massive, it was just 100 CEOs. It sounds like a lot, but these were very powerful companies that met over the weekend. And one of the reports that came out of there was that CEOs who participated in a live poll indicated they will reevaluate donations to candidates supporting bills that restrict voting rights, and many would reconsider investments in states which act upon such proposals. And we saw baseball pull the All-Star game from Georgia. Film companies have broken off contracts to shoot films in Georgia. Coke, located in Georgia, is blustering. What do you make of some of these threats of blackmail, essentially?
Well, I think that's exactly what they are. And I think that they've seen them work in the past. I think that North Carolina and Georgia, I think, and some other states caved on bills that would have stopped boys who are transitioning to being girls. And I, you know, as long as they're old enough to make the decisions, I don't care. And I don't think most of us care, except that if you grow up as a boy with testosterone swimming through your veins and then later become something else, then you still have grew up and had all that muscle formation with that testosterone. And you're always going to outperform genuine girls who didn't have the testosterone through that. There's nothing to say about that. And so that will destroy girls and women's sports to allow transgendered guys, whatever the right accumulation of words is for that, to play on the women's sides. And so that should be stopped. And having men use women's bathrooms, that's not discrimination. That's just sense. That's just common sense. And so, states have been knocked down and then backed down by corporations for this. And now corporations are getting bolder and bolder. And I think that's what we saw Saturday.
Yes.
And so the response has to be states banding together to tell these corporations, to hell with you. This is 2/3 of the landmass of the country.
Yeah, I certainly think that the response ought to be fine. You know, if you want to pull these contracts, you want to move your manufacturing to a high tax state and suddenly your bottom line gets affected, yeah, you go ahead and do that. We'll see if you really want to do that or if you're just blustering. Let's go ahead and take a break. There, we're coming up into some new dangerous territory. There's nothing China does that America's far left doesn't want to do. We'll talk about COVID passports next. back in our final segment now with Scott Shepard. He's the Deputy Director of the National Center Free Enterprise Project, launched in 2007. The Free Enterprise Project focuses on shareholder activism and the confluence of big government and big business. Find out more by heading to nationalcenter.org, and we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. So, Scott, governors in Democrat-run states like New York and California and even the Biden administration are eyeing COVID passports. A vaccine passport is an official confirmation that you must show that you've had the vaccine before being allowed into certain venues or on planes or other transportation. These COVID passports were very closely modeled, in my opinion, China's social credit score passports and how they allow you access or don't, depending on your obedience to the state. And for those that don't know, this has already started. It took effect April 2nd in New York State, and some other areas like California are beginning to implement it as well. Meanwhile, other areas like Florida recognize this for what it is, an assault on our liberties, and are looking to ban such systems. So, Scott, what do you make of these vaccine passports?
No, I agree with you completely. These are what we've seen all year. You'll be surprised to hear I'm not an epidemiologist, but I'm also not an idiot. And so about this time last year, I was starting to notice that COVID wasn't killing off homeless camps in their thousands. And then in May and June, I had my doubts that rioting cured COVID, or that being super woke somehow cured COVID. So when these groups were going into the streets, and politicians who are not on average the brightest of all possible bulbs, COVID's terrible and we're all going to die if we leave our houses, but this is important, so they'll be okay. But nope. I don't have to be an epidemiologist to know that this is nonsense. And so from very early on, it's been clear that there were two points in dragging out this this problem as aggressively as they have. One is just social control, and the other was to destroy the economy last year ahead of the election. And they achieved both of those for a year. But I think that people are now waking up and realizing that they're going to just go about and live their lives. And they have Georgia and Florida and Texas right in front of them. And Dr. Fauci, who changes his opinion about everything, he doesn't care what the health outcome is, as long as the political outcome is he gets to be in control for longer. Yeah. Had to admit, well, gosh, I just don't know why Texas hasn't seen a spike. Well, we know why. It's because these lockdowns have been nonsense.
Yes.
And so this last pathetic attempt to keep control somewhat longer, of course, being led by Gavin Newsom and disgraced New York Governor Andy Cuomo, because they're just little tin pot dictators in their sadly large and important states. And that's what, in my mind, that's exactly what this is about.
Well, the fear is that these vaccine passports will be tied to spending allowances, tied directly to your bank account, giving the government total control over you, because this is what China does. Before you spend anything, your social credit app has to be scanned, and you may or may not be allowed to buy things. And the price of an item actually changes depending on your score. I mean, knowing how government is and the current seize control of everything trajectory of the left, I don't see how this doesn't end up there.
Well, listen, I wish that were black helicopter lunacy, but there's every indication that that's where this is headed.
Yes.
There's a growing evidence that the World Economic Forum Davos crowd of corporate leaders really do admire lots of parts of the Chinese system. And just this past month, Merrill Lynch and some other banks have announced that lending is going to be tied to ESG scores. So how left-wing and woke essentially a company is will help to determine what kind of interest rate they get, or if they can borrow from Merrill Lynch, some of these other companies at all.
Once they've established it
for their big customers, it's going to flow down to all of us.
And the ESG score is?
ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance proposals. But that's just the fluffy talk. What it is a set of woke left-wing proposals, like zero carbon, even though China's carbon footprint grows every day, and quotas, racial and sexual quotas in hiring, and the be less white type of employee training. That's how you get a higher ESG score. And the higher your ESG score at Merrill Lynch, the lower your interest rates, the more likely they're going to lend to you.
That's
so
crazy.
We're already there.
Yeah, that is crazy. I hadn't heard that. And that's straight out of what China does with their social credit score. Part of the problem they have with these vaccines is that the vaccines don't stop you from actually getting COVID. The companies that are pushing these right now that have them out there, they can't be sued. So here's an idea. Since the manufacturers can't be sued for these vaccines, if you still get it or die, you know, something minor like that. What about suing the media that promotes it as if it's the cure-all and savior? I mean, the media is doing everything they can to push this and make it sound safe. You can't even mention the word COVID on fascist book without a fact checker leaping in there to say how safe it is and rigorous testing and all that. So maybe you could find people with reactions that have been convinced by Facebook to get the disease, to get the vaccine and get the disease, and then sue the crap out of Facebook. Would that work?
Well, right now it wouldn't work because when President Trump a few years ago was talking about opening up the libel laws and making some other changes to the regulation of the media, what he was talking about was letting these companies be held liable for some of the absolute nonsense they spew and the absolutely rigged ways in which for the big tech companies in which they censor. And so under current law, that wouldn't be possible. But that's where, I mean, if you want to find the proximate cause of today's nightmares, it's that the media wears David Brinkley as a skin suit, but inside is just a heckling, Walter Winchell. I don't know.
It would be great if we could revise some of these laws because right now there is just simply no punishment for lying. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock. Scott, I want to thank you so much for your time. We'll have to have you back.
Oh, Mark, anytime. Thank you so much.
The Democrats in charge are dangerous people. The turning point for me in the alleged fight against COVID was when they banned hydroxychloroquine. They were willing to let people die to get Trump out of office. What was so wrong with letting people use hydroxychloroquine that had been proven to be harmless? Remember, these were the same people who used the FBI and the Department of Justice against Trump and were willing to let people they knew to be innocent go to jail just to cover their own trail. How far has it all gone? Doctors in Canada are now banned from giving vitamin D to COVID patients without the approval of a specialist. The answer is the same throughout our history. Power-hungry people on the left need to be driven from office because, as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.